We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. Today is Monday, August 22nd, broadcasting to you live from Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia. As we do every Monday, me and my producer, Anthony Smurth Plummer, on the line today. We have a great show lined up for you today. We're going to have our Falcons insider, Miss Sarah Devine, coming to talk a little Falcons preseason. We're also going to have in our second segment, Wes Kane, who is Director of Legend Relations at School of the Legends website and Ultimate Fan Interaction website to follow all your favorite NFL players. We're going to get our buddy from New England, Russ Goldman, blogger for PatsFan.com, which is a little later on today. And we'll also be taking phone calls as well as emails. Anthony Smurf Plummer, let me tell you something. Plaxico Burress came out this weekend, and he is going to be – he's going to start a new trend of guys possibly getting in trouble and making a comeback in the NFL.
You're right about that. I mean, Plaxico Burress, he had a great game last night. I mean, you know what, as you see in ESPN, keep running the catch, the layout catch. I mean, it was just a great thrill to see Plaxico Burress be able to come back. Everybody was anxious to see him play, just about what Michael Vick done when he came back to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Plaxico, he's a continuing trend because it seems that he's in great shape.
He looked like he's in great shape. But, you know, he said something very interesting this morning. He said the year and a half off in prison may have actually helped him as far as, and rather than hurt him, because he had a chance to heal, he had a chance to get healthy. And now he pretty much just took 2 years off from football. He had a chance to heal all of his injuries, and he's hungry right now. I think Plaxico and Mark Sanchez are going to have a great season this year.
You're right about that. And I mean, Plaxico Burress, you know, he's from my hometown of Virginia. You know, we actually played against him in basketball there when we was in high school. He was also a great basketball player, how tall he was. I mean, the guy was just dunking on us. And football, I mean, he was pretty much unreal. He was catching, I mean, they just sent him on a straight fly in high school, and he was catching everything. But as you stated, that Plaxico taking the time off healed, because we always know he always had nagging injuries while he was playing with the New York Giants. But just the whole year off the heel, rest your body, and came back, and he looks great.
Yeah, definitely a big shout-out to Plaxico Burress from us here at Life After the Game. Good luck with the rest of the preseason. Good luck with the season, and stay healthy. So listen, the supplemental draft was today, and of course, no surprise with Terrell Pryor running a 4.36 40-yard dash. He was selected by who else but the Oakland Raiders. Have mercy.
Wow. A dysfunctional organization just with Terrell Pryor needed. I mean, this guy, I would really want to see Terrell Pryor in a stable organization, pretty much the same thing that Michael Vick done. But as you stated, Terrell Pryor went out there, ran a 4.0. We all know that the owner for the Oakland Raiders, Al Davis, we don't know whether he's still running the team or what. But as you stated, the Oakland Raiders are a team that was gassed off the Nimbus with the 40 time. And, you know, they jumped off the bridge and took a chance on Terrell Pryor.
And, you know, he must have been the biggest name. I'm really having a hard time finding anyone else that really mattered in the supplemental draft, especially on the heels of Michael Vick last week and a little discussion that was had between Michael Vick and the NFL. We know there was a little buzzword last week based upon, you know, he kind of got scared to the Philadelphia Eagles organization. So back to your point, the fact that Terrell Pryor, coming from an Ohio State program that's currently under investigation, going to the Oakland Raiders, didn't really seem like a good fit that he's really going to surround himself with the right people. I just hope Tony Dungy has him on speed dial.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so too, because, you know, Tony Dungy, he's been a great mentor. As you see, he took Michael Vick under his wing, he's took Plexico Burress, and he also needs to take Terrell Pryor, because as we've seen in college, this is a pretty much troubled kid, and hopefully he can get things turned around. But playing with the Oakland Raiders, we all know how they run that organization out there.
Yeah, definitely. And best of luck to Terrell Pryor. I mean, one of the best things for him is that he's already admitted that he's willing to play anything just to go ahead and get on the field. And with a 4.3640, you know, he can definitely be a weapon out there for whoever they decide the quarterback is going to be out there in Oakland. You're listening to Life After the Game. It's 6:05 p.m. And now we're going to come in and bring in our Falcons insider, Sarah Devine. Sarah, what's going on?
Hey, not much. I'm trying to recover after that game. I'm sorry to backtrack a little. I know you guys are talking about Terrell Pryor. And, you know, I think I had the same reaction as you. Like, eye roll, fist, like, face palm. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that he went to the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a situation where, you know, you want the best for the kid. I mean, he's made some mistakes, and everybody makes a lot of mistakes. You know, hopefully things will work out there for him in Oakland. You know, he's a young man, so even if that contract runs out, hopefully he'll get a chance somewhere else. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, if Jason Campbell can pull it up, it can be a great opportunity for Terrell Pryor to give himself a good name within the NFL and make the proper preparations to be a successful pro.
Oh, you can only hope. But I guess we'll move away from that. Let's talk about Falcons. So I know we had kind of talked a little bit about this before, and this game, kind of a snooze fest, I hate to say. It was just, there were moments of excitement, but it just, between the Falcons and Jags, it just wasn't the most exciting preseason game I've ever seen.
Right.
bright spots for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's an understatement. I mean, one of the things that actually did come to light when we watched that preseason game, and one of the questions I want to ask you, how does Mike Smith feel about how his defense played this past weekend against, you know, they played against Gerard, who actually left a little early, but you got a chance to see Blaine Gabbert a little bit. Now, how does Mike Smith feel like as though the defense did this past week against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
You know, I can't speak for Coach Smith, but I think, you know, from what he said to the media and kind of what he's projected outward is that he's not really worried about the defense. And I think, I think he's more concerned about depth and making sure that his guys stay healthy. And I think that his answer, just like any other coaches at this point, would be, it's still preseason. We're working on our problems. We're going to fix these issues, and we're going to come out strong in the regular season.
Okay, sir. I was reading this morning that Roddy White didn't practice this morning. He had a slight knee injury. Could you tell us a little bit about the injury and the severity of it, or is it just more of a precautionary measure?
From what I understand, it's more of a precautionary measure, and I think that, you know, as with any team in the preseason, you want to take good care of your starters, and I think that with him, along with Ray Edwards and some other guys that kind of are injury-prone, it's time to really be careful, especially with these last few preseason games leading up to that regular season. And, you know, the first game of the Falcons season is in Chicago, and they have a tough defense, and I think that, you know, resting and just being a little bit overly cautious is a good thing.
And, you know, one thing we can't speak about enough, Sarah, is, you know, the preseason preparation. You know, we're going into the third preseason game for the Atlanta Falcons, and they're going to be traveling up to Heinz Field to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, who actually came out and embarrassed the Eagles, in my opinion, last week. The only dream team in Philadelphia is actually the Philadelphia Phillies, and you heard that here. I don't believe they're going to live up to the hype as far as they're going to, but with Pittsburgh and the way they played last week, Pittsburgh came out and played like a regular season game last week. Do you see the Falcons taking that same aspect to their game this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I do. I think the Steelers made a really strong statement, and I think that they are saying, you know, we are the powerhouse in this state. We are the powerhouse in the whole country and all of the NFL, and I really see them going a long way this year, and I think that they're one of the top contenders to be the Super Bowl winners. And I think that that statement the Steelers made was, we're here, and even in the preseason, we're going to play just as hard. And I think that the Falcons take that very seriously. I think that they are going to redo their whole game plan, and I think that you're going to see a really strong first-team offense, first-team defense out there next week to play that game. And I think that the Falcons, just as much as the Steelers, need to make that statement and really need to come out strong and say, you know what, forget the past two games, forget that it's preseason, we're here, we want to win, the NFC South is ours, and get ready.
Okay, Harry, I see we have a lot of buzz after this weekend's Jaguar game. And we're going to talk a little bit about the hometown hero who got the city on buzz right now. And we're talking about Harry Douglas. I mean, he had a very exciting play. You know, he's missed all last year with an ACL injury. And when me and Lamar were sitting down watching the game, we said, wow, this guy really has his speed back. Can you tell us a little bit of how the Falcons plan on using him this year?
I think that the plan from what they thought Harry Douglas is going to be used for has completely changed. I think it's a whole new ball game, literally. And I remember thinking the same thing was, oh my gosh, Harry Douglas, he's got wheels. Who knew he would come back and bounce back after that injury the way he has? He's a beast. He's definitely been the most fun, explosive player to watch in this preseason, and there's no question he's back with a vengeance. He had a 76-yard touchdown pass from Matt Ryan in that second quarter. And I know that you didn't really ask me this, but I'm going to touch on it anyway.
Go for it.
It was a 76-yarder. That's huge. It was beautiful to watch. But Julio Jones, did anybody else see him blocking back there? That was great.
Yeah, I mean, great. He was Nick Saban product, great blocker. And I'm with you on that, sir, all the way. I mean, he was blocking 50 yards down the field, and you don't get that from a lot of rookie guys.
Great show from
a rookie. I mean, as you said, Anthony, a Nick Saban product, and he's going to come in and he's going to play. And one thing that the Falcons do and they do play is they play great team football. Right. And Julio Jones knows that it's going to take all 11 guys, you know, to get to where they want to be. And that's pretty much the Super Bowl. We got about 3 minutes until break. Sarah, give us a rundown of what the Falcons have to do this weekend to take out the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think they need to really show up on offense. I think that they use Harry Douglas again. He is the hometown hero. He is the man in this. I think that they use Julio Jones more and they give Roddy a break. They show up in that defense. You know, we had some scary injury issues in this game, kind of stopped everybody's hearts for a second, but it seems like everyone's fine. But we need to give that strong Big Ben offense a run for their money. And I think that, using those guys, William Moore, I know, if Ray Edwards is out on that field, that would be a great game to debut him. And I think that really making a statement on the defense, especially, is what needs to happen. We need to show them that we can do it and that Atlanta is not all offense. We are a defensive team too.
And that's the word on the street from Sarah Devine, our Falcons insider. Sarah, thank you so much. We're looking forward to hearing from you next Monday when we hear how the Falcons did against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thanks for coming on Life After the Game.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
We got about 2 minutes left. We're going to take one of the friends of the program, our main man, Joe Vail, that is on hold. Joe Vail, I'm sure you got some questions about the Atlanta Falcons, Pittsburgh Steelers, or football in general. What's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing, Lamar? Everything's going all right.
That's good, brother. That's good. Me and your buddy Anthony holding it down, man. How things going up there in D.C.?
Things are going pretty good now. As you well know, I just went in for my arthroscopic surgery today, so I'm taking it easy, recovering at home as we speak.
All right, man. Tell us what you got on your mind today.
On my mind, you know, I know there's a Monday night game we have, Chicago Bears and New York Giants, so, you know, me, you know, being in Washington, D.C. area, you know, I have to stay on top of the NFC East teams, and I need to see what these Giants are going to show me tonight. So I'm interested in seeing how they perform.
Yeah,
I'm interested too,
Giants,
Anthony.
That's a team that we haven't really talked much about this year, Lamar Campbell, because they didn't really have a lot of big acquisition free agents. That's normally the team that we tend to talk about. But once again, we can talk a little bit about the Giants. And one thing we can start with is they do have a reliable quarterback in Eli Manning.
They do have a reliable quarterback in Eli Manning. That's one thing for sure, two things for certain. But I'm really interested in seeing Marion Barber tonight. He was already a hard runner. I can only imagine what he's going to do. So I know he's upset about being let go by the Dallas Cowboys. I know he's a great pickup for the Chicago Bears. We have about 40 seconds left. Joe Vail, thanks for calling in. When we come back, we're going to have Wes Kane, Director of Legend Relations, coming on the show talking about his great fan interactive website, schoolofthelegends.com. Stay tuned to Life After the Game.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports. Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports continues to grow and evolve to ever-increasing prominence in today's society. On All Around Sports, host John Inglesby will connect with the leading newsmakers from the sports world, including players, owners, and fellow sports journalists, discussing the top news and events that are relevant to sports today. John will also report from and offer his experience of the world's top sports events. Tune in to All Around Sports with John Inglesby, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. It's about 6:17 after the hour. Feel free to give us a call at 1-888-346-9144 or send your tweets over to Twitter handle at Life After T Game. This segment brought to you by Blue Star Jets. Any jet, anytime, any place. Feel free to reach out to friends of the program, Cindy Mercer at 917-952-3613. Well, now we have a chance to take a chance to step back and let's talk to our guest, Wes Kane, Director of Legend Relations for School of the Legends. And if you guys don't know, make sure you visit the website, www.schoolofthelegends.com. Wes, appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thanks, Lamar, man. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, I know you're a busy man, man. Wes, I know you're a busy man, so we won't take up too much of your time today because you're making life better for all us retired and active NFL players. Tell the fans who may not have visited schoolofthelegends.com, what is schoolofthelegends.com?
Well, the simple answer is it's Facebook for football. Although surprisingly we don't focus on social media. We don't focus on football. We focus on the players that have built the game. The players that are currently building the game and the ones that will in the future. We're all about the legends, we call them. That's why it's called School of the Legends. We're a platform for guys to reconnect with one another if they're former players or connect with each other with your current teammates or and for fans to connect with those guys who they watch and love so much.
And I have had a chance to set up my page on School of the Legends. Feel free to visit my page at www.schoolofthelegends.com/Lamar Campbell. And Wes, it's just been an awesome opportunity. And for all the players that are listening, all the fans that are listening, it's a great interactive website where you guys have tons of services and products that you guys can offer the players. But as your role as director of Legends, of Legend Relations, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you help these programs possible for all the retired NFL players as well as the active players.
I've had a blast doing it, Lamar. I mean, I've learned so much about the game, about the players. I mean, I was just an ordinary fan before this, and now I'm just kind of getting an intimate perspective on just how it all goes down with the players and especially working with the retired guys, too, just seeing kind of where they are in their life. I mean, if you think about the title of your program, Life After Football, I mean, Life After the Game, you know, that's exactly what I deal with on a day-to-day basis with these retired guys. And the current guys, I mean, we want to make it easy for them. We know they're busy. We know their demands. We want to get them on the site using it as much as possible, kind of changing behavior. I mean, that's what we're essentially trying to do. We're building a social community for NFL players. That's what we're trying to do here. And guys are really starting to take pride in that. I feel like players are starting to understand that, hey, this is our social community. This is our Facebook. Players are revenue sharing partners in this company. We are officially licensed partners of NFL players, the full marketing arm of the NFLPA. And as an active guy or a former guy or anyone who's played the game, we see you as a legend on the field. Accomplish, you know, that degree of a successful venture. I mean, where you're playing at that high of a level, it's impressive. I mean, so we recognize those guys. And if you're activated in the site, you are a revenue sharing partner with us and NFL players. So in that sense, we really are hoping to give back to a lot of these retired guys who have built the game and honor those who have built the game. And I think it's a great thing for these guys. I mean, they're really, really taken to the fact that they're building their social community. It's awesome. I mean, how many times have you ever gotten a check from Facebook or Twitter? That's my first question.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you're just joining us, I have on Wes Kane, Director of Legend Relations at SchoolTheLegends.com. And as you mentioned, Wes, you know, you guys are a licensed partner of the NFLPA. And for all the players out there, active and retired, I just received a check from NFLPA. And I love receiving checks, if you guys didn't know. And thanks to Wes and his guys over there at SchoolTheLegends.com, we get checks for just participating with SchoolTheLegends.com. And not only that, but it gives us opportunity, as you said, Wes, it's Facebook for football. We build our own community. We build our own fan base. Now, you guys have tons of products and services that you offer active and retired players. Give us a brief rundown of what activities that you guys offer.
I'm sorry, say it one more time and cut out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Give us a rundown of some of the products and services that School of the Legends offer to active and retired players.
Yeah, the first is definitely the royalty structure in place. I think, obviously, you know, the fact that we're paying out quarterly royalties for your involvement is the first thing. Secondly would be we have things, we have a player transition program that we're implementing, where guys can, you know, help with life skills and things after the game. I mean, we have NFLPA chapters. I go all over the country and we speak to retired players chapters. And we tell them a little bit about the service, about the products we offer, what we can do to help, and just the relationships that we're building and we're continuing to connect on this platform. I think it's getting stronger and stronger, and it's building, and it's becoming more special every day. Just the idea, I mean, I went on there the other day, and there's a kid who posted something about, you know, got to go back to school, this sucks, or whatever he said. And then a player, you know, in like 10 minutes, you had five players on there being like, come on, little Joe, like, get your stuff together. Like, education's so important. I mean, there's a cool message there.
There is.
A student athlete can really be mentored by his favorite player or by a just legends. I mean, it really is the case. We have 1,700 NFL players in this social community. That's more than Twitter in a year. And we have 25 Hall of Famers, I think we had 22 of last year's Pro Bowl team on here, 60 of the rookie class, 8 of the top 10 picks. I mean, we're picking up some serious team, and I think players are really starting to take to it and starting to understand what we're trying to accomplish with this and how we're really highlighting them. And from the current player perspective, I really feel that these guys could take full advantage of the marketing opportunities they have while they're in the league, you know, while they have those channels available to them. And I'm seeing that more and more, because if you look at some of the retired guys, I mean, I see big name retired guys like Eddie George, for instance. He's got, I think, like 2,000 Facebook friends. I mean, 2,000. You've got, I mean, Michael Vick's got 1.4 million fans on Facebook, you know?
Wow.
And it's, I mean, guys that just get out of the league that really were, you know, not too savvy with social media or taking advantage of it. These guys right now have the opportunity to extend their followings and use something, a platform like this, you know, not exclusively. I mean, we try to leverage Twitter, Facebook, School of Legends, everything, YouTube. I mean, we want everything linking up and working together. You know, connectivity is just the way it is now, you know.
And what it does, Wes, and I told the guys, I had a chance to talk to friends of the program, Ryan Stewart and Dorsey Levins, it gives us sort of a locker atmosphere on the website. You get to be in contact with all the guys that you may have played with, all the legends that you may have played with. One of my friends on School of the Legends is Fred Barnett. And being a Philly kid growing up in Philadelphia, I got to be friends with Fred Barnett. And I tease him every day, touchdown, Fred Barnett, because that's all I used to say. And it's an amazing opportunity to reach out to not only your NFL brethren, but to the fans as well. And as the story you mentioned with the young man who was dreading going back to school, I mean, we have a very great personality. I mean, you meet a lot of guys with great personalities on School of the Legends. It's an opportunity to connect not only with your favorite fans, but your favorite players. And I guarantee you those guys will reach back out to you faster than they will on Twitter, faster than they will on Facebook. And it's just an awesome community.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I totally agree. I mean, Twitter... The cons with Twitter is that, one, you're not getting paid as a player. Two, it's a little bit more limited. It's limited as far as the in-depth reach you have with these guys. I mean, you can send a message, but you can't watch a video. You can't, there's a lot of things you can't do that, Facebook has. But then Facebook is so all-inclusive that there's 750 million users on Facebook. I mean, it's just crazy, and you can't. In School of the Legends, it's all aggregated into one when it relates to football. And it's a lot more accessible. The players are a lot more accessible. I mean, on Facebook, you go to a Jason Witten page and it's a Wikipedia print-off. It's a Wikipedia page, basically. And you can't interact with them. So there's pros and cons to, both Facebook and Twitter, but I think we've learned lessons from both. And we're trying to really maximize the experience for players on here, and in turn, that maximizes the experience for the fans.
So, right, and you guys are hitting your 1 year anniversary, and obviously, you guys are off to a great start. It's now 2011, beginning of the football season, and with such a great idea, it's nothing but room for growth. So I know you guys are growing. Tell our friends and players what's in store for School of the Legends moving forward.
I could not be more excited about the direction of this company. We have a site called, we call it Site 2.0. I think we're at beta 1.2 right now. I mean, it takes a long time. Facebook, Twitter, they weren't built in a year, I guarantee that. And there's a number of iterations that the site has to go through and to get to where you want it to be. And when we first started, you got to develop the whole platform and just the back end and get all the design work and all that. There's a lot of production that has to be done because we do training shoots with players and we do a number of different things. But this new site, it's clean, it's organized, it's fast, it's so impressive. So impressive. I mean, we've put a year worth of planning into it, and resources and money and time, and it's going to be phenomenal. And it's really what we've been waiting for. We haven't really truly opened our mouths up about the site yet. I mean, from a marketing side, just because we wanted to be able to support the traffic that we generated, come when we were prepared with the new site. So, timing with this new launch, the new product, we're opening up our marketing efforts, with the Gray agency, the marketing agency of the NFL. So, it's gonna be big, and I'm very, very excited. And the more traffic we generate, obviously, the more exposure these guys get, the more revenue we earn, and the higher the payments are to players. And there's just it's a win-win all across the board. And I just can't wait to see it. It's coming 9.3. SOTL.com is version 2.0 and on 9.3. So a couple weeks from now, you might want to check it out. It's gonna be amazing.
That's going to be awesome. And Wes, let me be one of the first guys to thank you for, I definitely appreciate that check you got me a couple of weeks ago. And it's going to be an awesome platform. So if you're just tuning in, that's Wes Kane, Director of Legend Relations. Make sure you visit the website, www.schoolofthelegends.com, to interact with your favorite active and retired NFL players. Wes, thank you so much. I can't wait to have you on the program again to talk about the growth that School of the Legends has made within this football season coming up.
Absolutely. We'll keep each other in the loop, man. Thanks a lot, Lamar. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks a lot, Wes. Appreciate you, buddy. That was my man, Wes Kane, from School of the Legends. Anthony, tell me about that opportunity. We have about a minute left, but Wes has given us a great opportunity for fan and interaction on the internet.
Man, I mean, you're right about that, Lamar. And I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to the interview and all the great things. Since we started this show, Life After the Game, I really didn't realize how many outlets there were for NFL players and retired players. And, I mean, people truly have some great things going on for the players after they retire from the game and also while they're playing in the NFL right now.
Yeah, awesome. We're getting ready to take a commercial break, but we're going to come back, talk a little more football. We're going to have our buddy from up in New England, Russ Goldman, join us, talk a little bit about the magic that Bill Belichick is putting together back up there in New England. Stay tuned. About 6:30 p.m., Life After the Game.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
The revolution has begun with Jim and Trav.
Listen this week as Randall Eden, Shannon Young, Josh Fleming, and Joe Hosmer tell us why it's important to get our kids in the outdoors. Plus, Cat Daddy will have some catfishing tips, and Nick Rhodes has a new twist on wildlife management you'll want to hear. This is sponsored by Ram Trucks at RamTrucks.com. Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, coming to you live from Buckhead, Atlanta, Georgia. And me, I'm on the phone with my producer, Anthony Smurf Plummer. We had a little conversation while we were on break about the kickoff rule that's been implemented for the 2011 NFL season and how much we hate it. Have mercy, Anthony. What is going on with this kickoff system?
I mean, come on. I mean, it's automatic. You might as well just put the ball on the 20 and tell the offense to run out there on the field. I mean, because it's really taking away the excitement for the game. I mean, I like to see Devin Hester. I like to see the Josh Cribbs return the kick. And I mean, if you're an NFL kicker now, and if you put the ball on the 35-yard line and you can't kick the ball out of the back of the end zone, I don't even think you deserve a job.
Not even. And you know what? I take it real personal right now, Anthony, because as a player who was a free agent and actually made the football team on special teams, you're taking away an opportunity for me to show you that I belong on that football field, that I belong on that football team. You know, a lot of guys are going to make the football rosters come to the end of this preseason just based off their work on special teams. And now you have guys that are going down there covering kickoffs that are not even going to get a chance to show, you know, how tough they are to bust up the wedge. And one of the most exciting parts of the game is the kickoff return. How do you take that away from the fans? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I give this rule approximately 1 year because the fans are very upset. And I mean, it doesn't bring any excitement to the game because, I mean, during the opening kickoff, you pretty much, every fan in their mind thinks it's pretty much going to be a touchback. I mean, they have taken the excitement away from the kickoff return game right now.
I mean, one of the things that came to mind, and the fact that the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears are going to be playing tonight at Monday Night Football, something just crossed my mind. When Chicago played Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl in Miami, and when Devin Hester took the opening kickoff for a touchdown at the opening of the Super Bowl, that's why we watch football. Why would you want to take away that part of the game and make it so mundane? And as you said, just line up on a 20-yard line and let's play football. Nobody wants to see that.
And, I mean, honestly, you're really taking, like I said, I stress that you're there taking that excitement out of the game. I mean, not a knock on Devin Hester, but that's what he do. He return kicks. He's not a great receiver. And that's what Devin Hester is really getting paid for, the return kicks, him and Josh Cripps. So, I mean, pretty much, I wonder how would that affect once you try to cut down to the 53-man roster. How important will kick returning be once it comes down to the 53-man roster? Should I keep this guy or should I release this guy?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a conundrum for a lot of the coaches up there and a lot of players as well. Don't know what they're going to do. Just joining us, this is Life After the Game. It's about 6:35 after the hour, and we're going to bring in our favorite blogger from the New England area, Mr. Russ Goldman. Russ, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Lamar. How you doing? Anthony, how are you doing as well?
What's going on, Russ? We take a lot of flack because everybody say all we do is talk about the Patriots, but I guess we keep the Patriots on because they do everything the right way. Would you say that's the case up there in New England?
I think I certainly think that they do it the right way, so I'm not going to disagree with you there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it seems, and we had you on at the beginning of the season before the preseason started, and you hit it right on the head, Russ. I mean, Bill Belichick has seemed to work his magic again. And how about that Ryan Mallett kid up there? I mean, it got to the point where I thought that Bill Belichick himself may have spread that rumor that Ryan Mallett did something wrong so he could go ahead and steal him in the third round. Have mercy.
Yeah, I was actually very impressed by the first game. He had such pocket presence. I was so impressed, honestly. I felt like he really is a natural at the position. He is, he is the son of a coach, and you could see that he has what Brady has. The only thing I'm concerned about Mallett is down the road, will he have a quicker release? That's the only thing I'm worried about. But he certainly knows what he's doing already, and he's only a few weeks into his career. So I'm pretty excited. I wouldn't be shocked to see him be the backup for Brady.
Wow, I mean, last time we had you on, Russ, the number one question I asked you was about would the Patriots retain Randy Moss. Y'all made a major, major splash with picking up Chad Ochocinco. Can you tell us a little bit about the relationship that Tom Brady and Chad Ochocinco has formed in camp?
Yeah, I definitely can. To be honest with you, it really has been a work in progress. I actually wrote about this. But I can definitely see the potential that it's going to bring. I'm not going to say it's going to be Randy Moss and Brady, but it definitely gives another dimension to the offense. Not that we need another one, but we do have it again. We have that, that long distance threat. It's really going to open everything up. It's going to make Wes Welker and Deion Branch even more dangerous. And then, of course, we've got Gronkowski and we have Hernandez. I mean, I honestly don't know how you're going to stop our offense right now.
Yeah, that's crazy. You guys have a very powerful offense. But let's go ahead and take a turn on the defensive side. And reading your blog today, you have a great blog out today about the high expectations of Brandon Merriweather, you guys' free safety out there. Number one, it doesn't help that he's had some subpar seasons, maybe average seasons.
Yep.
But the fact that he's a University of Miami alumnus, he's going to have a lot on his mind this year, this NFL season.
Oh, absolutely. Him and, unfortunately, Vince Wilfork, who
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of as well. I think this scandal could affect both players. It's unfortunate. I'd like to say that this is something new. I'm kind of numb to situations like this, USC recently, and we can go all the way back to SMU, but those two players, I hope that they can be professional and try to just deal with that, that scandal and put it behind them and try to have a successful season.
Yeah.
Wow, you were talking about, and when you're speaking about the defense, we also know you all picked up Albert Hainsworth, who did restructure his deal once he got up there in New England. You know, tight-lipped Bill Belichick, he doesn't really give the media much to talk about. But could you just tell us a little bit about how Albert Hainsworth is coming along, whether he reported to camp in shape? Just give us a little outlook on Albert Hainsworth.
Well, honestly, we really haven't seen a great deal of Albert, but I just have a feeling that he is working off some kind of injury, and hopefully we'll be ready to see some action soon, which I think we all want to see, because I saw the defense look incredible last weekend. It was really nice to see an attacking defense. Him and Vince Wilfork in the middle, I don't know who's going to run on the Patriots. And I cannot wait to see what that's going to look like because we've already added Andre Carter, Mark Anderson, Sean Ellis, and have basically transformed the defense from a read and react defense to a real attacking style defense. And I've been waiting to see something like this for a very long time. Honestly, I can't wait for the season to begin.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome season for you guys up there in New England. I really believe that. Now, with those additions that you just spoke about, Russ, do you see Bill Belichick going from a 3-4 to a 4-3 or actually alternating per opponent during the NFL season?
You know, that's been a big question up here. Will they actually make that transition to the 4-3? They have lined up throughout camp, throughout both games, in a 4-3, which is a huge change here. They have used 4-3 many seasons, but it hasn't been on a consistent basis. I definitely think that you're going to still see 3-4. I think it's still going to be, you know, figuring what works best for each opponent. But I think the majority of the time you will see 4-3, and you're going to see a different style of defense. If you haven't seen the Patriots so far, they are attacking, and I have not seen that in a long time.
Wow, that's good. And with the additions and everything, because I know you said earlier when we had you on a few weeks ago that you wanted to see the Patriots' final roster. Now, how do you think they stack up with the New York Jets and a team that no one's talking about? It's all about the Jets. But we're talking about the team that played in the Super Bowl last year, also the Pittsburgh Steelers. And now, how do you think the Patriots stack up against those two teams?
Okay, well, I think the Steelers are probably the bigger threat to the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl. I have much respect for the Steelers. I think they're going to be right there. And I think the Jets are going to be there as well. But I think we have upped our game just a tad. And you guys asked me for a prediction last time, and I gave you, I gave you a rough estimate. Well, I'm now prepared to give you my prediction. I'm predicting 14-2.
14-2. Wow. If I put you on the spot, who you think the two losses may be, Russ?
Who would the two losses be? That's a very good question. I would say possibly one to the Jets. And I'm going to throw out another one that might surprise people, but it could be the Giants.
Wow. That one I didn't see coming, Russ. I did not see the Giants coming. I am an Eli Manning fan, but I'm not that much of an Eli Manning fan. I have a feeling that Bill Belichick is going to go ahead and eat him alive with his cut-off sleeves. You know how Bill Belichick does it. And you know what? You look at what Bill Belichick has done, and he's playing chess when all the other coaches seem like they're playing checkers. He's thinking two or three moves ahead. Look at the draft picks that they received this past year in the draft with their trades that they got for Ryan Mallett and other people. They are preparing to line up and go for another run. I mean, they've already been dubbed the team of the decade. Are they setting themselves up for another run of another decade's best team?
Well, honestly, I would like to think so. They definitely have set themselves up nicely, like you said, with all the draft picks, and definitely starting to get younger on defense. And now this year, they started to focus a little bit more on offense, bringing in two running backs, bringing in some offensive linemen. And again, like I said, the next couple of years, we have a ton of draft picks. So I would say definitely we could be in for a longer run. I don't know if it's going to be like the 49ers had for all those years, but Bill Belichick has really set the team up to succeed for several years to come. And in my opinion, as long as you have Brady and Belichick there, we're going to be in the mix for the Super Bowl every single year.
Yeah, that's awesome, Russ. We have about 3 minutes till break. Russ, definitely want to call. Definitely want to thank you for coming on the show today. If you guys don't know, I'm on the phone with Russ Goldman of PatchFans.com. Make sure you check out his blog, www.PatchFans.com. Russ, thanks again. We're looking forward to having you back on the show when the Patriots are 6-0.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Lamar. Have a great night.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, Anthony, man, Russ gave us some good information as always. And I mean, Bill Belichick and those guys up there in New England are doing the thing, man. They're setting themselves up for another great Super Bowl run.
I mean, you're right about that. I mean, like you said, I mean, New England, they run an exceptional organization up there with the Kraft family. And like you said, Bill Belichick, as long as they have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady around, they are always in contention for the Super Bowl.
Always in contention. I mean, as you say, you saw the draft picks that all the that they traded for this year. I mean, New England Patriots are going into next year with about 12, 13 draft picks. I mean, Bill Belichick is You talk about Spygate. You talk about all the things that he's done. You know, you can say Spygate, but he really didn't get caught, but he did get caught. And we have about 2 minutes until break. But, I mean, Bill Belichick is really doing big things up there. You got to add, you got a Chad Ochocinco up there. I think Chad's going to have a good year and do things the Patriots way. We should have asked Russ if he was going to let Chad Ochocinco stay with him.
You're right about that. You all know Chad Ochocinco, the man of many personalities, had decided to stay with a Patriots fan, and his only request was that the Patriots fan have an Xbox. So that would be real interesting to see which lucky fan would take Chad Ochocinco. Lamar, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you let Chad Ochocinco come move in with you?
I would let Chad Ochocinco come move in with me. Just, you know what? I would let Chad come in, even though I don't really play Xbox that much. But I guarantee he will have me laughing all day long. No telling what Chad Ochocinco's and his child please daycare may be going on up there if he was down here in Atlanta. But if I let Chad Ochocinco stay with me, it would have to be in Atlanta. And I guarantee you, Chad Ochocinco would not be in the house.
Well, one thing about it, I will let Chad Ochocinco come stay with me. And the first thing I'm going to say, can he take on some of this mortgage? He cannot live with people. Chad Ochocinco, you have a house down here in Atlanta, and all I need to do is get half on the mortgage, and you definitely have a place to stay, and you have your own bedroom.
That was our buddy Russ Goldman joining us from PatsFan.com. Stay tuned. We got about 30 seconds until break. When we come back, we're going to be taking your emails and phone calls. Stay tuned. Life After the Game.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard. You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative. From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andre S. Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. and Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to lamar@lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game, 648 here in Atlanta, Georgia. Lovely as always. Great conversation with our buddy Russ Goldman up there in New England speaking about the New England Patriots. But we're going to go in and go to the phone lines right now. We have Brandon Fatboy Robinson calling in with a question. Fatboy, what's up?
Hey, Lamar Smurf, how you guys doing?
What's going
doing
on,
good, man?
Glad
what's
to hear you, one of our faithful listeners. We're glad that you tune in every Monday at 6 p.m. Thanks a lot, Fat.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I have a two-part question.
Shoot, buddy.
One, is Larry Fitzgerald worth $120 million? And two, how will this affect everything else that goes on with these guys that still want to get signed that haven't been signed going into the season?
Let me answer this one, Lamar, because I really I really take this personal. I'm going to take this question.
Tell him why you mad, son. Tell him why you mad. Tell him why you mad.
I really, really don't think Larry Fitzgerald is worth all that money. I mean, like I was speaking to Lamar and I told him about it. That is elite QB money. It doesn't make no sense to have a $15 to $17 million receiver with a $2 million quarterback because Larry Fitzgerald is going to only be as good as Kevin Cobb. Now, if Kevin Cobb can get him the ball and they can make things happen, I don't even honestly see Arizona as a playoff team, but I really, really think that Larry Fitzgerald, he cracked the bank. I'm not mad with him for getting his money, but I really think the Arizona Cardinals overpaid him. And if I'm not mistaken, Fats, you are a big Eagles fan. That's going to affect you all heavily, the Eagles, the Detroit Lions with Calvin Johnson, and the Titans with Chris Johnson with the signing of the contract with Larry Fitzgerald. So what do you think, Lamar?
You know what? I have to look at it from a player standpoint, you know, and I need Larry Fitzgerald's agent in my heyday because he got paid $120 million. Larry Fitzgerald, and I do agree with you on this point, Anthony, is that I'm not even sold on Kevin Cobb yet. And so that was definitely a business decision for Arizona Cardinals. Number one, Larry Fitzgerald is going to be that was all about ticket sales. They need someone for the Arizona Cardinals to come watch. I mean, someone for the fans to come watch at the Arizona Cardinals. I think Kevin Cobb is going to be a stone cold bust. I don't think he's going to be what everyone thinks he was going to be. And I think Arizona overpaid for him as well. And as you said, there's going to be a ripple effect to all these guys that are holding out. So you're telling me DeSean Jackson, and we know the type of personality that DeSean Jackson has. He's going to sit back and look at this Larry Fitzgerald money, and Jeff Lurie and the Eagles are saying, oh, man. He is going to have to get paid. He's getting quarterback money. And this is what I love about Larry Fitzgerald agent. Shout out to our Larry Fitzgerald agent. He can restructure in another 3 years.
Wow. And to piggyback off that, this is Larry Fitzgerald's third deal. This is not even his second deal. This is his third deal. And like you said, it's going to trigger down effect in the league. And one thing I'm really interested to see, and we all know DeSean Jackson agents, is Drew Rosenhaus. We know the type of game that guy plays. So it's going to be real interesting to see how the Eagles and Drew Rosenhaus handle DeSean Jackson contract.
I mean, it's just going to be crazy. I mean, you look at this deal. Let's just look at it by the numbers, okay? We're looking at a situation where he's going to get $120 million. Now, Fitzgerald will make $20 million in 2011. He was scheduled to make $7 million. The Cardinals must exercise a $15 million option just to keep him on the team. That's just a team of monarchy. Now, assuming that they exercise that option, Fitzgerald is going to make $20 million in 2012. That's $40 million over the next 2 years, which is making him the highest paid player except for Peyton Manning. And now, the first 3 years of the contract is $45.5 million. That's 50% more than Fitzgerald's previous standard of $10 million. And you just got to say, what was this deal all about? It was about business. It was about ticket sales. It was about keeping Larry Fitzgerald. And as a selfish fan, I was looking forward to Larry Fitzgerald signing with somebody else.
Wow, it was rumored that he was headed to Minnesota. But like you said, I'm happy for Larry Fitzgerald. I would definitely want to have his agent on our team. And to me, I mean, you know, Larry Fitzgerald is one of the elite receivers. But I still think that Andre Johnson is the best receiver in the league.
Right. I got to go with you. I think Andre Johnson is the best receiver as well. But let's not look at the business. But let's also look at the business aspect of it, Anthony. They knew that the Texans were going to have to pay Chris Johnson. They knew that the Eagles were going to have to pay DeSean Jackson. This was a power move in the NFC to where they're going to try to bankrupt the other teams or get the other teams over or under the salary cap. See, now with the new collective bargaining agreement, it becomes a business decision as well as a field decision as well, because you know guys have a definite salary cap now. And you're looking at all those numbers before you offer this type of money. And I think they put a lot of teams, especially the Eagles, in a very bad predicament, because now you have to pay DeSean Jackson and Michael Vick.
And not only the Eagles, I'm very interested to see what your boys would do up there in the Motor City, because they're not known for paying guys. In another year, Calvin Johnson is going to demand a payday. And I'm very interested to see, do you think your boys up in Motown will shed off the money for the key Calvin Johnson up there?
You know what? I think Larry Fitzgerald actually set the market. I think they will play Calvin Johnson. I think they will play Ndamukong Suh. We've been fighting for such a winning team for so long up there in the Motor City. I think the Fords now understand sometimes, and in the words of my father, sometimes, son, you got to pay to play. And to keep that team around, to keep it a winning organization, you have to pay your big-name players, and that's just the game we play right now. Sorry, owners, we negotiated. You got to pay the fellas, and let's get down to football.
You're right about that. I mean, like you said, there is a trickling down effect, and I'm very interested interested to see how much money will Chris Johnson receive. I mean, Chris Johnson threw a birthday party when he found out how much money that Larry Fitzgerald signed for. So it's very interesting. Now, I was speaking to a few of my colleagues today. If Chris Johnson was to receive that type of money, I would not be mad, because I'm always a true believer in pay the running back, because there's a short span in the league. That man deserves his money. So I'm very interested to see how Tennessee is going to handle that situation. But it seems Bud Adams is not going to budge down there in Tennessee.
Yeah, he's really not. I think, as you said, I think Chris Johnson deserves that money. I think he really carries that organization as a whole. I think when you have a guy like Hasselbeck that you brought down from Seattle, you have to have a running back behind Matt Hasselbeck for him to be successful. We have about two and a half. We have about 2 minutes until close, and we were supposed to get into the University of Miami scandal, and we only got 2 minutes. But let me get some final parting shots on that, Anthony. What do you think about that University of Miami scandal before we get out of here?
Wow, I mean, I'm very surprised. I mean, by me being an FSU fan, I've been reading our FSU blogs. I'm going to be completely honest with you. It's a love-hate relationship. I'm down. I'm sad, because if they get hit with these allegations, pretty much the rivalry's over and the University of Miami is done. On the other hand, that's what the U gets. Because if you watch the 30 for 30, I've seen a scandal going on when they showed that episode, so I'm pretty much not surprised what's going on down in Miami. But there are some very serious allegations. But I'm gonna hold my thoughts until we can get all the true facts that's going on down in Coral Gables, Florida.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have another chance, because this is a situation that's really going to be drawn out during the NFL season. And one of the things that we know, I'm looking forward to seeing how the Miami players not only are going to react, but the NFL Miami players, if they're going to be hounded by the media as well. It's definitely a terrible situation down there in Miami, but as you said, that's exactly what they get. And unfortunately, you know, Donna Shalady was actually the president of the University of Wisconsin while I was there. And, you know, we couldn't even get a free book without Donna Shalady being on our box. So for her, and we don't know if she knew or if she did not know, but, you know, as the cliche goes, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's probably a duck. So we'll see how that goes moving forward. But we definitely want to thank our callers today. We definitely want to start by thanking out our guests. We have Sarah Devine, Wes Kane, Director of Legend Relations at School of the Legends, and Russ Goldman, our buddy up there in New England from PatchFans.com. We definitely want to give a shout out to our callers, Joe Vell, Tillman calling us from Washington, D.C., and Brandon Fatboy Robinson calling us here in Atlanta, Georgia. Definitely had a great show today. Shout out to our engineer, Matt, who's doing a great job for us and continues to do a great job, Smurf.
You're right about that, Matt. He's doing a great job. And like you said, we want to thank our callers for calling in. We would thank our emailers for emailing in. I hope my man, Joe Vail, he has a speedy recovery. Like you said, he did just have arthroscopic knee surgery today. And like I said, one of our true listeners, Brandon, who usually give us a call and give us some flack every week about those Eagles. So I want to thank those guys for calling in today.
Yeah, it's been a great show, Anthony. Definitely stay tuned. Next week, we're going to have a surprise guest for you here on Life After the Game. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for making us the fastest rising show on VoiceAmericaSports.com. Always have the perfect state of mind for success. Life After the Game. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaSports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.